Welcome to the IP 360 podcast, brought to you by IP Private Wealth. This podcast talks about wealth, health, and all the different ways we measure our success. It's a true 360-degree look at how we manage our wealth. Today, we talk with Jenny Beharry, clinic manager and nutritionist at Cavin Nutrition. We talk today about nutrition for your retirement years, how to keep healthy and fit as you transition out of work life. Let's go to the interview. So we're here today with Jenny Beharry from Cavin Nutrition Group. Thank you so much for joining us, Jenny. We're really excited to be here with you.
Hello, I'm excited to see your face and talk to you.
So, okay, we're going to start from scratch. No one else except me knows who you are yet. So tell us who you are. Where do you work?
So I work at Cavin Nutrition. We are a team of, not a very large team, we're a very small team. Although I have to count us on my fingers because I'm like, wait, like, so there is Rachel, who's the owner of the business, myself. So Rachel and I started working together, I think in 2013, the end of 2013. And then we have Jordan that works with us, strangely enough, another Jordan, and then Caddy, and then Andrea, who's amazing. And then Natasha, who's on mat leave right now. So we all work together and we all do different things, but we also work together on all of our clients. So like whenever there's anything to do with something that we can't figure out or something we've not seen before, we always go to each other. So the people are basically getting care from all of us. Yeah. Which is really amazing. So, that is like part of working with a team of nutritionists, not just being like a solo nutritionist, mm-hmm. that makes it really great, I think, for our clients in general. Yeah.
And so talk to us a bit about like, what does Cavin Nutrition do? Like, what do you focus on?
We focus on a number of things. I would say like primarily if I'm just going to talk about like my focus, I will start with that just because it's easiest. So I do a lot of digestion work, a lot of work with women and just understanding their cycles and their hormones. So I do work with like a lot of young women because they really just don't understand our bodies. Like most of us just don't. And we're taught to never talk about menstruation and like never talk about anything to do with our bodies because it's like gross or like taboo or all of those things. Like people tell us not to talk about it. So then you one day are like a 20-year-old woman and you don't really know what's going on in your body. So I love that aspect of like educating young women on what's going on in their body. Digestion, I do a lot of digestion work. A lot of people either, whether it be like both sides of the spectrum, like, you know, like not going to the bathroom, going to the bathroom too much, like having consistent bloating, like skin issues, like all of those things, a lot of it is related to what you're putting into your body. Your skin is a really large detoxification organ. So if you don't have anything that can't get out, then it's going to come through your skin, unfortunately. And then those things are some signs. So we just like work on different foods that might work for every single person. We work a lot with like stress and anxiety, I would say, eating disorders, like menopause, perimenopause, you know, just like figuring out how to feed your entire family. We do a little bit of sports nutrition. It's definitely not our like main focus, but we do, and we are able to help athletes figure a lot of things out and like find out what's best for them, especially when someone has like goals of like, I want to run a marathon. Like we're definitely able to help with things like that. But it's like more overall, like learning how to eat for the rest of your life, basically for you, not just for like your neighbor that's like doing like a 7-day cat food detox. Like it's just like a normal, like we're just trying to get you to do things that work for you specifically. That was a very long-winded answer.
No, that's a great answer. And I know anyone who's followed Cavin Nutrition in any form on social media will know that you guys also run like reboot programs for mm-hmm. around weight loss. But mm-hmm. what I'm hearing is it's not, seeing a nutritionist is not just about weight loss.
No, it's so much. I even just forgot weight loss. I just forgot to say that we do weight loss. I was like, because it's like we work on all the food stuff and then the weight loss kind of just happens. Like it's like people just like start eating things that work better for them. So let's say someone's eating, I don't know, like cabbage and it makes them incredibly bloated, but they heard that it was really good for them. And they're like, oh, my tummy is always so bloated though. And I have issues with it and I'm so gassy. And then all of a sudden they cut it out and they add in something else. They're like, okay, well, now I'm going to eat, you know, roasted kale and peppers instead. And then they're not bloated. And then they just lose the weight that way. So yes, we do weight loss programs that I completely forgot to talk about, but it's so much more than that. It's almost like we work on all the other things first and then people just end up losing weight, really is more so how it works. It's like, it's the principal thing, sure, that we talk about that people come to us for, but I would say that as far as like understanding like blood sugar balance and all of those things, all those other things come first, like sleeping and pooping. Can I say pooping? Can I?
Well, you have now.
Sorry. I sleeping and, you know, like if those things aren't working, your digestion, your energy, your mood, we work on all of those things. And then you're like, oh, I lost some weight while doing those things because you're eating foods that serve you, that give you the energy to go for a walk, that give you the energy to make your meals. Like those are the things that we're really focusing on. Because if you don't have the energy, you're not going to want to make a meal.
Right.
So it's almost like we have to get you the energy first back before you do those things. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. And how did you end up being a nutritionist?
What a tale. So I did not, definitely was not my start. I definitely did not start as a nutritionist. I was a client of Rachel's. So when Rachel was working by herself completely, I saw her for migraines. I had like a lot of migraines. It was all very food related. It was sugar related. I was getting them every 2 to 3 days. Like I just couldn't function. And I do like, and they were severe, like they were like knocking me out and they were deeply unpleasant and it was affecting my work. And I was working as a video production manager at the time. So it was like a lot of like late nights editing and like doing things like that. And it just like wasn't working. Like I couldn't function. So then I went to see Rachel. I almost went to see a dietitian. And I just like, I found Rachel online. And it was like, when I met her, I was 45 minutes late for my appointment, which was also very funny. Cause I didn't know, I was just confused about where I was going. Anyway, she changed my life. Like she did. She helped me so much in those 45 minutes, helped me figure out what foods were triggering my migraines. And then I would say like by the end of the year, that was in the summer. By the end of the year, I had been laid off from my job and I saw that she had posted a job. Just for an assistant, like someone to help her. So then I wrote her and I was like, do you remember me? Like, and then she was like, of course I remember you. And then I was like, and then I interviewed and there were other nutritionists that had interviewed, actual nutritionists. They were nutritionists at the time that interviewed for this position. And then she ended up hiring me, which was like, I was like, what? Like out of all the people, like I was like this, there's like no chance. But then like from the very beginning, right? Like from the very start, like I remember when I like met her, she had said to me, I said, I'm going to throw myself out the window. Cause I was like so stressed when I came in. She was like, I knew that I was going to be friends with you from that moment on. And I was like, great. This is like a match made in heaven. So then I was assisting her. And then eventually within the year, she was like, do you want to become a nutritionist? And I said, yes, absolutely. So then I took a program. And then within that year, like I had started seeing clients and then I never looked back. It was amazing. So it was, I think that it never was a goal. It never was a goal of mine to ever do this. But I also feel like it's very much in line with like what I want to put out into the world, the type of person that I want to be, the level of empathy and care that I like fully believe in, all of those things. And allows me to do a lot of that within my work. Cause it's not just about food. Like it's so much about like caring about people and like, you know, like I have clients that are now my friends, right? Like they're like people that I would just talk to normally. Like I dog sit some of my clients' dogs. Like it's like, you don't just become like, you're not just their nutritionist. You're also somebody that hears about like why they do the things that they do. And you help them figure out things that are much deeper than food. And people come to us with the idea that they're going to lose weight and they leave with so much more. And like, I don't think there's anything better than that. Like even when I went to see Rach, like I got a job and like basically now I'm working my dream career. Like I didn't expect that when I like went to see a nutritionist, right? Like people don't think that those things are going to happen, but they do. That's what's really amazing about it. And like, that's why I feel like it wasn't even when I started doing the schooling for it. I already remember thinking like, this is just like where I want to be exactly. Like, this is finally it. Like I had like worked so many jobs. Like it wasn't until I was like in my late 20s that I had started doing this. So it was a really big shift for me, but it's also like maybe the last shift that I'll make. I don't know, maybe I'll do something else, but I feel like I won't, because this is like, this is really where I feel happy and comfortable and like where I can like put the love out into the world that I want to put out. Instead of like being like, here, I did this thing for you. Like, I don't know, like it just feels right.
Yeah, for sure. And I think anyone who talks to you for even 10 minutes can feel all that amazing energy. Yeah. And I think you stand as a pretty good poster child for, you know, balanced nutrition that works for your body. It means, you know, have a happy, healthy person.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's talk about what we're here to talk about today. And we wanted to talk about, a lot of our listeners are, or have someone in their life who's at a retirement age, who may be sort of transitioning out from like that full-time, you know, going strong, career path. Many of our listeners are executives or entrepreneurs. And now they're moving into like a succession plan or a retirement plan or whatever. And the changes that kind of come with, you know, I'm going to say slowing down, but it's not always slowing down, but it's certainly changing your type of activity as you move out of your job or your business and into, the R word, retirement life.
Yeah. R word.
So can you tell us a bit about, like, what are some of the changes that are happening? Like what changes on a metabolic level or like on just like a general physical level as you're going through like that sort of 60 age range and like changing even what your daily activities are?
Yeah. So I would definitely say that when someone is in there, you know, going through an aging process, there are some things that probably need to be said about like how people view aging. So they're like, people are like, oh, I'm getting old. Like, it's like, all these things are going to happen to me. And I was like, why are you saying that? Like, don't you want to be a hot old man or a hot old lady or a hot old whoever you want to be? Like, it's not a sentence. It's not the end for you. And I think that a lot of people unfortunately treat it as such. They treat it like, this is it. Like everything's going to stop working. Like my knees are going to fall out and my eyes are going to fall out of my head. And I'm like, that's absolutely number one, not the way to look at it. Like you need to look at it as a second part of your life. But I will say that like one of the biggest things with those changes is body-wise, you are going to be, not the word slowing down, like I know that you said slowing down, but like I think your pace of life slows down for some people, but then that also leaves them open to no schedule, which then leaves them to like, oh, I'll go for a walk on Tuesday, and then they don't go for a walk for the next like 5 days. Like a lot of it has to do with like the type of movement that they do, and also where you are in your life that puts you sort of in the, like a sandwich generation. Like people are having kids later, so they have adult children, maybe with grandparents, maybe their grandparents, and like maybe they also have parents that are still alive that are either in a long-term care home or live with them. And like that's like one of the age ranges. Maybe they've passed away, maybe they haven't, but they're sort of sitting with their like kids that aren't like little kids anymore, but they also still need a lot of help, right? Like some of them might be in their like 20s. So they do still need some help, like, you know, financially, whether it be mentally, all of those things. So the focus, I guess, can like go back into those kids, and it can go back into like the other people that you have to take care of. And I think that sometimes people just forget to take care of themselves. So they are looking at those things. So I guess like the biggest body change would just be more of a lifestyle change. So they're not moving around in the same way, or they're either moving more, like maybe they're going to take their grandkids and like have them every day and like help with childcare. I mean, specifically if we're talking just the pandemic, right? Like that would have changed, right? Like a lot of, you know, daycares and things like that. It's like going to grandparents' houses was like a relief. Like it would give someone the opportunity to work a little bit easier in the day. So, I mean, body changes wise, like sure, like there are some things that people need to be aware of, like your probiotics go down. So like that's overall like eating some really good probiotic rich foods, like a sauerkraut, kimchi. You can take a probiotic if you want to, if you like any of those things, drinking kombucha, having Greek yogurt if you tolerate dairy. Bone density is another one for sure. And then there are often many bone density tests, and digestion becomes more and more of an issue sometimes as people age, just because some of the things that they were eating before might not work for them. They might feel some of the bloating, stomach acid goes down, things like that. So then definitely just getting a physical done with a doctor when you're done, and then sort of like creating a really good routine for yourself, because you're going from working every day to now this like lifestyle that gives you like a lot more freedom. But sometimes people don't schedule in things, like they're going out, they might be going out every day, but they're not necessarily like doing the same things that they used to, right? They're like, oh, I'm sitting inside and reading a book. So they're not walking to work. They're not, you know, like commuting anymore. Like all of that takes away so much of your daily movement. And I'm not saying that every person needs to do that consistently every single day, but when you do sort of like take a step back, it should be like taking a step back to do the things that you want to do, finding your hobbies and interests, like all of those things. Cause like mentally it can affect a lot of people, not in an amazing way, sometimes in a negative way, because they are not necessarily like they take the time, but then they're like, what do I do now that I'm retired? And I was like, you can volunteer. Like you can, you know, do some things within your community if you're looking for those things. Cause mentally that like I would say like this specifically from the people that I've seen, but like, they say, like some people have said to me that their focus shifts, but they don't know where they want their focus to shift to. So then we really just try to figure out together what that shift will be, whether it's volunteering or whether it's like starting an art school or whether it's like finally like learning how to ski, like all those things that people wanted to do before, like they should do them, but they're like, oh, but they sometimes have the mentality that says I'm too old, and I'm here to tell you you're not too old. Right.
And also like, so part of that would be coming off of like a high stress situation of owning a business or whatever. So that you've had stress energy that you've been working with, and this, and everything's going to feel, even if you were learning to run a marathon, it's going to feel like it's less of a big deal or less intense or whatever. And it's a stress reaction that you've been like kind of dealing with over the few years. So that change in your stress hormones must change how your body works as well, possibly for the better.
It really depends on where you are in your life and like who you are, but I would say hopefully your levels of stress go down. For some people, their levels of stress go up, and the type of stress is very different. So work stress from, you know, demanding jobs and long hours and all of those things could then be shifted into stress that you now put on yourself for taking care of other people, which a lot of people end up doing. But it is a very different, you know, and then that's where the schedule actually, like, because when you go to work, some people are, my clients, I would say, are like, I'm helping them with their meal planning. I'm helping them figure out what foods they need to eat. But then when you like can wake up at any time you want, you might not actually eat breakfast, and then you'll be like, oh, I'll have a snack. And then you'll eat everything in your home at dinner, right? Because you have this very free, easy schedule, which is fine, but it's like, what are you eating, right? Like, are you just eating all the, but like you used to go to work, you used to have your morning, you used to have your breakfast, and then you go to work and you bring your lunch, and then you go home and you make dinner, and you did that for all of your working years. And now that pressure is not there anymore. It's not there, but you still need to have some like food prepped. You still need to have a schedule. You still need to say like, hey, I'm going to do these things, because that lack of schedule, I would say, combined with the like not packing your lunch, right? Like is what really makes people end up having they're sort of like, well, what do I do now type of brain sort of reaction to those things. That's really where I would say those ideas and like stress levels shift. And hopefully, you know, starting a meditation practice if you haven't done one, or like actually being able to like commit to a breathing practice or journaling or those things. Because people that are working are like, I don't have time for that. And I'm like, okay. I was like, now that you're retired, you can't say that to me anymore. And they're like, damn it. Like, I was just avoiding it. Yeah.
Awesome. Why, and is this true, but there seems to be a perception it's harder to keep fit as you age. And it may seem like a really obvious answer, but why is that the case?
I think that it's some of it for some people is also the fact that they, in the last, even their working years, like their prime, you know, more like later 40s, 50s, they were again balancing like a lot of things, either their family responsibilities, work responsibilities, volunteering responsibilities, all these other responsibilities that like maybe they're taking a course in something, maybe they're learning French. Like I have clients that are learning French and they're in their mid 40s and their early 50s, right? For their jobs so that mm-hmm. they can advance in their careers. And those things put pressure on you. Like the education part of it puts pressure on you. Like all of those things end up mattering. And I think that you might neglect exercise, you might neglect weightlifting, you might neglect all those things, but lifting weights. And unfortunately, this is still a thing that I hear from some women, 50s and early 60s, that they don't want to get bulky. And I promise them from my soul, unless they decide that they're going to take some sort of like enhancing drug, that they're not going to look like that. Like this is about you getting stronger. The best possible thing for bone density, besides obviously eating some calcium rich foods and taking vitamin D, is vitamin D, which we need to talk about, is very important, is lifting weights, weight bearing exercises and lifting weights. And if you were to poll, meaning not my clients, but many other women that are not my clients or not seeing a nutritionist or a personal trainer, they're not weightlifting because they're worried about looking bulky. And I'm like, but you can't, you cannot. it's not going to be a thing. Like, I want you to be strong. Like, don't you want to, let's say like, you know, someone were to fall in their 60s, that means the difference between like a broken hip and not a broken hip. Like if you are stronger and if you are doing those things, right? So that physical activity really ends up mattering. And, you know, that's that would be why the sort of like more difficult to get that fitness in there just because of all your life responsibilities. But then when you can, you know, either you're going to the gym, you can do it at home. If someone's walking every day, like I have like, I remember when I was a little kid, there was this woman and she was just walking all the time. And she was just like the fittest little old lady. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to walk when I'm 70. I'm just going to be out on the streets, just walking. Like, and it just makes sense. Like she's still moving every day, right? Every single day. She was a very like fit, pleasant woman. And it's like, it's really because I think people are prioritizing other things, which is completely fine. But also at the same time, it's important to prioritize like the things that keep you strong well into your old age. So you can age with, you know, like some strength and vitality and all of those things. And that a lot is in part to still being able to lift things. Like many people still want to be able to lift their grandkids, and that's going to happen. If you're lifting a 20-pound weight and then you lift up your grandchild, oh, that's all the weight training you need. They're dead, those babies. Dense babies.
So I one thing I hear pretty often these days, there's kind of like two schools in terms of nutrition and like health over time. Mm-hmm. One is sort of what you're talking about, which is very like balanced and relationship mm-hmm. where you're doing a mix of exercise and eating, and you're eating not just for calories, but you're eating for the actual nutritional ingredients mm-hmm. of your food. And then there's this other sort of philosophy I'm hearing a lot lately, which is if as long as you're at a calorie deficit, you're going to lose weight, or as long as you're training really hard, you can eat whatever you want and you're going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about like, I mean, just even from what we already talked about, I know that's not going to mm-hmm. be your sort of style of approach to this. And like, what is wrong with that idea?
The calorie deficit idea is, there's like a few things that I don't believe in personally, like within my own philosophy. I don't really think that people should be wasting time counting calories unless they are trying to achieve, like if someone is, I will say if someone is looking to, obtain the body of somebody who's going to perform in an Olympic event, or if they're going to have to do, they need to fall into a weight category because they've decided to do, I don't know what it's called. It's not MMA. Is it MMA? Yeah. Like if they have to be in a weight class and or like powerlifting or whatever, you have to fall into a certain weight class, then yes, calories can be part of that equation. But the thing about so many calorie deficits is that people are eating the incorrect things instead of looking at nutrient density. They're just looking at an item and they're like, this item is 100 calories and I will eat it and that will be my sustenance. And I'm like, but what else is in it? Is it just like, what is in it? Like, is it just corn syrup? Is it just, you know, like fat-free, the whole fat-free craze? Like you can pick up a bag of gummy bears and it will say fat-free on it. And people are like, great, I'm going to eat these. And I'm like, I don't know if that has like any nutrition in it. Like, did it come from the earth? No, it did not. Like, it's not from the earth. This like, you know, these gummy bears that you're eating that are fat-free. So achieving that calorie deficit for some people definitely works, definitely makes sense. Does it make sense for somebody? Does it make sense for aging or like, you know, 60 plus or not? And if you're just looking to eat overall healthier and to lose some actual, like lose actual weight, it's really coming down to the nutrient density because 100 calories worth of celery is really going to look different from 100 calories worth of M&Ms or 100 calories worth of chips or 100 calories worth of those things. And that, yes, you should be, I don't think that people shouldn't be calorie aware because sure, they can look at that and it can help them make better choices. But what are the things that are inside that? What makes that food low calorie, right? Yes. Is it like, are you eating a lot of peppers and eating it with like a lot of hummus? Yeah, it's probably still pretty low calorie. Are you eating a lot of like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something that's like really like pork rinds, let's say, and dipping those in hummus, like it's the calories are different. And like, if you're eating like maybe something that actually has like a lot of protein in it, like if you're eating like a turkey pepperette or just a regular pepperette, like that's going to have more protein. That's going to have more nutrient density. But people look at it and they think, oh, this is too high calorie for me to eat. But I'm like, but where are all the other nutrients? Like, where are the, you know, where's the fiber? Where is the protein? Where is the healthy fat? Like, where is it all? So if you're counting those things, that's a great thing to count. Right? You're like, how much healthy fat did I get today? You know, thinking about, you know, this is specifically for anybody with, as we age, some people say that they're starting to forget things, but a lot of that has to do, unfortunately, with this like whole fat-free idea that we have to eat fat-free all the time. Like people are afraid to eat an avocado and they're afraid to eat. Like, I'm like, these things are good for your brain. Like you need this for your brain. Your brain health is really, really, really important. And if you're not eating those things, you're not getting the brain health that you deserve. Like your brain has fat in it and it requires fat. So when someone is getting older, they need to eat those things as well as anyone younger, all of us, no matter what age, as you develop, if you have a baby, if you are pregnant with a baby, like all of those things.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Brain health and food. Mm-hmm. So healthy fats, what else?
Yeah. Healthy fats.
Oh, and what is a healthy fat?
A healthy fat. Yeah. So there's the difference between like a healthy fat and an unhealthy fat. So like if there's something like a lot, like even when people are eating fats, like, you know, like there's always a demonization of nut butter and nuts and seeds. And sure, like we've all overeaten all of those things, but like, you know, those are not going to be the things that are going to put you in the ground, right? But if you're eating really high fat dairy all the time, you're just eating meat and cheese and like that's your diet, I'm worried for you. And I'm also worried for your digestive tract because how often are you really going to the bathroom if you're eating that all the time? You might be going too much too, right? If your body's reacting poorly to that, if you don't do well with dairy. So some cheeses, yes. Like if you're just eating like high fat meats and high fat cheese, that doesn't mean no meat. That means like if you're only eating high fat meats, that's what I'm worried about, right? But like healthy fats, like eggs are a healthy fat, like nuts and seeds are a healthy fat, fish. Like if someone will eat seafood, that's amazing. Flax, chia, coconut, like all of those things are really good healthy fats that are very lubricating to the joints also too. Like I encourage people to eat high fat dairy if they can tolerate dairy. I'm like, have that, you know, 2%, 5% yogurt, like go for it, like live your dreams, right? Like those things are like, that's a healthier fat. Plus, like if you're having skim 0%, like most of the time people overeat it or they're hungry later. And I'm like, no, you got to eat some fat in there. Like someone's eating a 0% yogurt, I'm like throwing hemp seed in there, get some healthy fat in there. Cause like the lubrication of the joints for young and aging people is important too. So it's good for your healthy fats, are important for your brain. They're really important for your joints. They're also really important for our skin. Right? Like people are like putting all kinds of oil on their face, ingest it also, maybe not what you're putting on your face, but like olive oil, pour some olive oil on your salad. Right.
Yeah. And I think you've touched on something important there, which is, you know, it's easy to grab snacks.
Oh yeah.
And then when you go home, when you're retired, yeah. Like you know, there's often snacks around the office, but there's so many more snacks at home. And I think we all kind of got a taste of that through
the pandemic.
How easy it is to just find yourself back in the kitchen, back in the kitchen, back in the kitchen. And so like, how can a person, like, how does a person figure out, I guess it would be like mindful eating, right? Like recognizing it's okay to have a snack, but like, how do you kind of put the brakes on that, like grazing, the negative grazing?
Yeah. So giving yourself, like saying, like giving yourself a schedule of saying like, this is when I'm going to try and have my breakfast and I'm going to combine it. So sort of habit stack it. And I go for my morning walk and then I bring my, you know, like I bring my tea with me or my coffee with me on my morning walk. And then I'll come home and I'll have my breakfast. And then if I'm hungry for a snack, then I'll have it, but then combining what that snack is. So let's say that you aren't, let's say you have a sensitivity to nuts. So you have to eat seeds, for example. So then maybe you have like a handful of seeds and you eat it with like a peach, or I'm saying peaches because they're in season and I ate way too many today and my tummy hurts and they're delicious and I have no regrets. So good. But if you, you know, eat those, if you combine them with a fruit, or let's say you have like some celery and you're going to eat my celery with these like almonds, or going to eat these apricots with some macadamia nuts, like combining that food together also helps you feel fuller so that you don't have to go back and like grab that little snack, right? The reason why people overeat certain things, whether it be chips, cookies, low fat cookies that people always buy, they like go back and they overeat those things. Yes, they're convenient, but they're not nutrient dense. And there are many things that are convenient that are nutrient dense, but I will say that we make them inconvenient for ourselves by like not setting ourselves up for success. So I've carried an orange back and forth from work back home to work back home, and then it rots. So as an adult lady, I have now peeled my orange and I bring it in a container and then I eat it every time. And it really makes a huge difference in our lives.
Oh my God, I can relate to that so much.
Everyone's problem. Even in a work day, like when I'm at home, I'm like, gotta peel my orange or I won't eat it.
Oh my God. Oh. And also as a person ages, I think I see a lot in the people in my life who are aging, there can be like natural changes to how much sleep you feel like you need. And, you know, like my parents sleep way less than they used to, and it's not because they have to, they're just awake. Yeah. For example, and other people might feel like they have to nap more, you know, energy levels are changing. And so, again, like you talked about schedule, but what, like, how do you kind of manage that when you've grown up in this idea of like 3 square meals a day and now you're sleeping, like maybe you only need like 5 hours before you're awake and ready to go for a walk or something. Yeah. How do you manage eating when your physical self is changing your schedule on you?
Yeah. So definitely like writing down what feels really good to you. So you might want to try different things. Like you might want to just try going vegan for a week. Like why not? Right? Like what's the harm in trying that? You might want to try a week where you're really trying to focus on, you know, certain nutrients. You're like, okay, I'm going to eat a lot of vitamin C rich foods this week. And like, just look them up, just be like, I'm going to work on that. Or I'm going to try some new proteins this week. Like I've never eaten, you know, cod. So I'm going to bring cod into my life. So just bringing in different things and sort of like, kind of like wake, so that you wake up with like, okay, I'm going for it. Like I'm going to try something new.
Bringing cod into my life sounds like it should be on a t-shirt.
I'm bringing cod into my life. And it's, I mean, like it would probably be better if we were in Nova Scotia. I don't know, cod from Nova Scotia. I don't know where they're from. Where are they from? Cod, where are you from? So they're just bringing those, like bringing like new things into your life. And then, yeah, you're probably going to bed really early if you're getting up that early too. So trying to give yourself like new opportunities, doing things that you have said previously, looking back at your life and saying, I don't have time to do that. You're not allowed anymore. Like, you know, like that might be sound a little harsh and mean, but specifically if you do have the time, but like, if you have that time, like if you're getting up at 5:45 AM, what's stopping you from like pre-making a chia seed pudding or peeling your orange or like doing all those things, like setting yourself up for the day? Cause a lot of us now as working human people do that at nighttime. Now you can do that in the morning, like reclaim that time, take it back. Sew, like quilt, make something, make me a hat, you know, like I just like, Jackie, do that. There's so many other things that you can do in that. So yes, besides schedule, it's also make it fun, like make it exciting, make it new, like ask a friend to do it with you, ask your partner to join you in your early morning walks, you know, and you will start to crave those things and write down if you like that day or not. Like I did that during the pandemic. I was like writing down, I was like, had a terrible day because I woke up and started working right away. It was like, I didn't meditate. I didn't do yoga. I didn't go for a walk. I didn't eat my breakfast. I was like, that was a worst day. I'm never going to do that again. I thought I was being so efficient and I was very grouchy. So it's like, find what makes you feel good. Like what makes you feel really amazing? Is it the day that you woke up, did yoga and then had your breakfast? That's it. Then that's what you're doing. Right. And that can change in 3 months, but try it out for a bit and see how you feel and see how like the other people around you react to you too. Cause like that can change too. Like people will say like my family says I'm in a better mood now. And I'm like, that's amazing. Yeah. I saw it happen also.
And on that note too, like when we talk about people who are in that retirement age, mm-hmm. like you're right, the rules, you're rewriting the rules of your life, mm-hmm. sometimes for the better. Sometimes there's like opportunities to overindulge.
Yeah.
So let's talk about alcohol.
Yeah.
So, you know, from my experience working with a nutritionist, I know that like it's not that you can never have junk food or a snack or something that's kind of off the list. Mm-hmm. But as someone who doesn't drink, like, can you talk to us a bit about like the sugar and like, does that count as like sort of your fun food for the day? Like, how do you manage that? Especially as like now the gloves are off, like, you know, you don't have to go to work the next day. So you can mm-hmm. have an extra glass of wine and it can,
yeah.
you know, and you're socializing with other people more. There's mm-hmm. a lot more opportunities to take, you know, to enjoy things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got that experience of like having, not as much restriction around having a drink.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that, for the purposes of nutrition?
Yeah. So for the purposes of nutrition, I would say depending on like, you know, going back to the probiotics, cause that's one thing that definitely goes down in as we age, like our good gut bacteria can get affected depending on what we're eating, depending on what we're doing. So, you know, recognizing that alcohol is not going to help you build good gut bacteria. So that means maybe taking a probiotic before, maybe taking one drink and then having a kombucha if you like kombucha, or maybe having something else like previous in that day that really helps you bring up all the right things in your body and like have the right foods and, you know, on the day that you're going to drink. So it's almost like you're preparing for those days. But if you eat a little bit of fermented food every single day, like I'm talking like a spoonful of sauerkraut or having a half cup of Greek yogurt with berries or putting some kimchi, you know, on the side of your meals, and then you have a glass of wine, like that's completely fine. But then, you know, the overindulging part of like drinking too much, you know, cause it is fun. Like, it's like, okay, like people are drinking. They're like, I'm so fun. I'm having a great time, but hopefully you're not having like 6 or 7 drinks a night, right? That's not going to make you feel very good. Mm-hmm. Cause like you're not going to wake up the next day and feel like a free flowing flower. You're going to feel unwell, right? Like that goes from like any age range, right? Like, so it's really just making sure that you're eating the right things and not, you know, the overindulging also gets coupled often with like, I'm going to drink this night and then I'm going to eat this thing. And then they're drinking and then I'm eating this thing. And if that's happening every single night of the week, you might, and then it's affecting you the next day, then yes, like that you have to recognize that as a problem and say like, I shouldn't be doing this every night, but it's not total restriction. And I think that we all live, I have many clients, many people that are all or nothing. And I always remind them that like being all or nothing has served us not at all. And why are we only all or nothing about food, but not all or nothing about other things? So like, let's say that someone didn't like, you know, a new mom didn't have time to shower one day. She could be like, well, I'm never showering again. Right? Like who would say that? Right? But then when it comes to food, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to even have a little bit of popcorn ever again. Why? But then if you're like, I'm going to drink every night and go hard, it's like, oh, also why? Like what? Like, is something else wrong? Like there has to be, right? And that's usually what I dig into when people are in that all or nothing state. I'm like, what else do you think is going on here? Like, why do you feel like you have to do this consistently? Is it because peer pressure doesn't go away? Like when people are in their 70s, they talk about peer pressure. Right.
Yeah, for sure. And well, and you get a new gang of gang.
Yeah.
But gang. You get a new squad, right?
Yeah.
Like
squad,
I mean,
might be a drinking squad.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's someone in my life who got a motorcycle when he retired, and it's super cool. He you know, rides around with his friends, but now they're stopping at chip wagons, and you know, it's a different lifestyle when you're on a bike.
Yeah. So it's like all of those things. And then also depending on how comfortable you feel, I don't have this, I fortunately don't have this problem now, and I've always been surrounded by people that are very supportive of my eating. But I will say that I've had like comments made to me like earlier. It's like, oh, you're always doing that. I was like, no, that's literally how I eat. Like what? Like, so if you feel comfortable saying like, cause you're not there, and I make this very clear to everybody, you are not there. So, you know, you said you're the person in your life riding a motorcycle. He's not there to hang out with the chip wagon. He's not there to go just hang out with the fries. He's hanging out with the people that he rides with. He's like riding his motorcycle, loving life, right? Like all of those things are part of the experience. And yes, occasionally getting what he wants at a chip wagon is fine, but it's also like, that's not the reason why they go just to go to the chip wagon. They're riding because of the love of being, feeling like you're flying on a motorcycle. Like that's why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And on that note, so a lot of retirees also have more opportunities to do travel, which is awesome, but there's a lot of like food consequences that come with travel. Can you give us a couple of tips on how to, like, let's say you're trying to not, I mean, you don't want to go to Italy and not have pasta. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I know, Jenny, you would never say go to Italy and don't have pasta. I know you wouldn't do that. But like, how can you sort of mitigate what can happen when you kind of falling off that all or nothing wagon? When it comes to travel and food.
So travel and food, I would say that most people, and like I'm taking like from the stockpile anecdotally of people that go to Italy, is most people end up losing weight when they go because they're eating the food and the portions are different and they walk around so much because they're traveling, right? Mm-hmm. So they are eating all of these things, they're enjoying the wine, but they're walking from place to place. Like, you know, I haven't been to Italy, but I've been to Paris, and we didn't like get a car or anything. Like, it's like the streets are tiny. Like, it was like hard enough to like pull my luggage through the road. Like I wasn't gonna like, so like you're walking everywhere. Like you take transit and then you walk everywhere. So all of the food experiences that you have are then coupled with like so much activity and like taking in sights and sounds and like really just immersing yourself in the world that you're in. And that's the really beautiful part about it. And like trying the cuisine is also just, it's part of that. So, and then again, it's going to bring me back to talking about probiotics. When you go, it's like, take a probiotic with you so that you don't get any, in case you eat anything that your body doesn't love, like that's going to help you react better to it and like not react as poorly with digestive issues as well. So like have those things, and then just also make sure that when you're there, you're like, okay, eat that pasta, but like get some protein with it so that you're not hungry for a second bowl of pasta in 10 minutes.
And perhaps even trying to keep some of that schedule you've built at home going. Like if you go for a walk, go for a walk in Italy.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. It's such a different life. And then you'll want to go for a walk, and when you go home, back home, you're like, oh, what a world.
This is so much good information. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you were really hoping to talk about? I know you mentioned vitamin D.
Yes. So vitamin D. So I just want to talk about like just vitamin D in general. If, you know, depending on where you live within the entire world, North Americans specifically, between the hours of 11 and 2, if you're outside, you're going to get adequate levels of sunlight. So in some retirement age, you probably could go for a walk between the hours of 11 and 2 and get 20 minutes of sunlight exposure. And I'm talking like the neck and shoulder areas as well. So in the winter, I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you're getting that. I just don't know how exactly. Maybe you're just standing topless in your yard, and that is fine if you want, but that is not a common, that's not common in the winter. So if you're not doing that in the winter, then you need to take vitamin D. Your levels of vitamin D, so most doctors will not actually test your vitamin D levels because they just are assuming that it's low because you live in this, like you remember winter. Like sometimes there's like 5 days where you're like, I have not seen the sun in so long. And then you like see it and you're like, wow, there's the sun. So it's like, you do need to have some levels of vitamin D to either take them in drops. They're very common. Like you can find them at the grocery store, at the pharmacy. The brand that is found very commonly at grocery stores and pharmacies is the D drops brand. There's ones that's for babies, but they're really important. That's really important for overall like bone health in general. And it also helps you absorb other things as well. And it's important for your mental health. It's so important. Vitamin D levels have been shown to like highly increase lots of people's mental stability when we're entering those dark, dark days in our lives. The dark days.
The dark days of winter, not the dark days of retirement. Yeah. Retirement's awesome.
No, the dark days of winter. Sorry, everyone. Days of retirement, the dark days of winter. But yes, vitamin D is very, very, very important for that. And it is one of the, it's like, you know, it's probably like we talk about supplements. I do talk to people about supplements, but it's probably my like non-negotiable, I would say. Like if you want to fight me on it, I'll be like, okay, go pay for a test. And then if you're adequate, I'll leave you alone. But Most people are not adequate in vitamin D. And the darker your skin, the harder it is to absorb. I still take vitamin D in the summer because my skin is darker. So
that's
like,
interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, it's much harder. And it's like, I hold on to a tan. Like I got tanned like a month ago. It's still tanned, you know, it's the vitamin D is in me. Like it got there, but it takes longer for me to absorb it than someone with fairer skin. So that's something to be just really aware of. And then if someone can't be in the sun, like let's say they can't be in the sun for 20 minutes, even if it's like, you know, dusk time or any of that, like it's later in the day, then let's say they have like really, really like fair, freckly skin, then they should be taking vitamin D in the summer, and they can decrease their drops, right? They can have a smaller amount. So those are, you can like look them up on Health Canada websites or ask a doctor about it, because every single person is different. But like I still take with darker skin, like I still take like 2 or 3 drops in the summer, and I get outside, but like not in the midday because I'm working lady. You don't get out probably at that time either.
Waiting for that retirement.
Yeah.
We'll find you walking in the sun at 1 o'clock every afternoon.
Yeah, every afternoon. 11:02. Here I am, sun.
Oh my goodness. Jenny Beharry, thank you so much for joining us today. You're a ray of sunshine and a font of knowledge. So thank you so much. If people want to learn more about Cavin Nutrition, where can they go?
They can just go to www.cavinnutrition.com. And then if you have the Instagram, it's cavin_nutrition. And then we also have a Facebook group as well. And you just look that up and you'll find us there. We have like tips and recipes and all of those things there to just like pick up on those. You can ask questions in the group as well. And it's just a community of like-minded people that are really looking to overall just in general like improve health, and more so than, because I forgot that we did weight loss.
Amazing. And yeah, I'm gonna also encourage, I'll just plug your newsletter because you guys sent out something for the Super Bowl that had chicken fingers where they're like crusted, but instead of like wheat, it's oats.
Yeah,
and that is my new like junk food I go to all the time.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah,
it's so easy.
It's so good.
It's so easy and so good. Yeah.
We want to eat all day.
Amazing. Yeah. You guys do a really good job finding ways to provide ideas for food that are not, they don't taste like healthy food.
Yeah. We want in our life.
Amazing. Well, thank you again, Jenny. And looking forward to speaking to you again. I know we're going to have Rachel Cavin come on.
Yes.
In an upcoming show to talk about executive life and how to eat when you're a high powered executive. So
yeah,
looking forward to talking with your team again. And looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the IP360 podcast. We look forward to talking with Cavin Nutrition and Jenny again. If you'd like to reach out to us here, you can email us at comms@ipprivatewealth.com or head to ipprivatewealth.com for more information on the IP360 philosophy to wealth management. See you next time. And now for the fine print. The opinions and statements expressed by our team are effective as of the date of this broadcast only and may be subject to change.